Hello and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. My guests for today are Grant Watkins and Keely McHenry, founders of Earn Your Freedom, a Houston startup that's gamifying financial education for students. EYF launched MoneyQuest earlier this year and is now seeking crowdfunding support with the help of Impact Hub Houston. The funding will go toward continuing to develop the program and support local high school students to help them reach financial literacy before they enter the real world. Grant, Keely, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So I think we should just start at the beginning. Tell me about when you had the idea for EYF. How did you two come together to start it?
Yeah, I'll start us with what do they say? The best way to start a business is find a big problem to solve, you know? And it was back in like 2019, I was working at HEB on like the overnight shift and just trying to get my own personal finances in order more than anything, you know, solving my own problem. So after countless hours of, you know, listening to audiobooks and podcasts of Dave Ramsey, Tony Robbins, Ramit Sethi, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, all the greats, you kind of realize they're all saying about the same thing with, you know, very little differentiation. The basics are not complicated. It's pretty straightforward. You just have to put a plan together and follow through with it and be consistent on a daily basis. The problem that I found was it was all kind of boring, honestly, you know, and you start listening to podcasts like Bigger Pockets. And after the 100th episode of, you know, how did you get your personal finances in order? They're all saying, again, the same thing. So I thought, all right, let's create a better way to teach this, or better yet, apply it. So two kind of pivots later, and after getting into the startup community here in Houston, eventually we landed on the idea via a friend of ours, on why not just make it into an actual video game. You know, Keely and I are both avid users of Duolingo, which is, in my opinion, still the best example of gamification for education. You know, and just the simple little, like, keep your streak alive, win these little trophies, compete against your friends, or like use your friends to compete with
each
other.
We have a little competition guy.
So I think I just crossed one full year of Duolingo in a row.
I'm around 290.
Yeah, Keely's right behind me. So it keeps me incentivized to keep my streak going. I don't even want to learn Spanish anymore. I just don't want to lose to Keely. I'm just kidding. No, but we wanted to find some way we could gamify a skill that's so important for real life as personal finance, you know? So we were thinking about mini games, and then a friend of ours said, why not just make it one cohesive video game, like storyline, like a narrative, you know, that you could walk through and learn all these concepts together. Because the problem with a lot of the kind of financial education we saw out there was it would piece by piece things. And that's not how real life is. You know, your credit score does affect like whether you can pull out loans or what your rate's going to be, which the rate you get on that does affect your budget, which does affect, you know, all the other pieces of your life. So we wanted to show it all together. Mm-hmm. So probably, what was it, middle of 2021? Mm-hmm. I started learning how to code. I was like, well, I can't afford a developer, you know, and I don't know where to start. So I better learn it myself. So our buddy found us a piece of software that was easy to pick up and start learning. So I started developing on there and learning that skill in JavaScript. And we built the first prototype. I got into the GBeta program. The first Muriel Foster, who runs the GBeta program here, is amazing. I think I had shown her, we'd been in touch for like 6 months before. I told her I was making a pivot to a video game. I showed her the first little like house I had built in the game, and the character, the proportions were terrible. It looked awful. But you could see like what it was going for.
The vision was there.
Yeah, the vision was there.
That's around the same time I met Grant. Yeah. We had met, he was working out of the Ion downtown Houston, and he was asked to be a mentor for the GUnity Foundation, mentoring kids on entrepreneurship. And I, a student at the University of Houston's Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship, we had also gotten asked to mentor the students. So we just wound up in the same group mentoring kids on entrepreneurship. And that's when I met Grant. He had just started all this coding and game pivot.
Yeah. And over the next few months, it was cool. Well, Keely, you know, needed a place to work on her homework after school hours and everything else. And she was also working on another business at this time. Yeah. So we just would meet up all the time at the kind of free space downstairs in the Ion and work together and, you know, go and eat together and hang out. And it was like, all right, like, I kind of like spending time with this person. you kind of have to enjoy spending time with your co-founder. It's kind of a prerequisite. You kind of, you know, go crazy. Yeah, not going to work too well if you don't like your co-founder. And I just quickly kind of realized, like, how much she was killing it and everything that she was doing. And she was still in the middle of her Wolf Center program. I got accepted into G Beta and developed the game a lot further from there. And it's just been slow development from there of one piece at a time and learning and growing. And we had a great time with G Unity together. I finished G Beta, and then around what, January, February of this year?
Yeah.
Of 2023, you know, or probably December, I told Keely, you know, hey, like I can't do this all on my own. I'm looking for somebody, you know, to help me with like marketing and a few other aspects that I'm not very good at. And, you know, after a few times, eventually it just kind of clicked of like, wait a minute, I'd be an idiot not to have Keely as that person. So, you know, a few months go by and she comes on as my CMO, and Keely just like immediately starts adding so much more value than just a CMO. And I was like, I'd be an idiot not to have her as my co-founder. So, you know, made the ask, and that's where we are now.
Yeah. A little background on my financial literacy journey. I've always been into money, whether that be my dad was kind of like a penny pincher growing up. And so whether that be his influence or not from the start, I've always been really into finances. And when I was 17 years old, my mother passed away and she had left inheritance for me and my sister. And at 17 years old, you don't really know what to do with money like that. And so she had passed away of brain cancer. And the month before she passed away, my stepfather also passed away unexpectedly. And so it was a lot on me and my sister to try and like process, and as well as get, like, we were the power of attorney. We had inherited a piece of real estate in Wisconsin, and not understanding the inherent value of real estate, we ended up selling it. And if you look at now, that property has doubled in value over the last 4 years, and it was already like paid off and everything. So huge mistake on our part. And then this was all around the same time as the big cryptocurrency hype. And so as a 17-year-old, I got caught up into that and I invested into it and lost a lot of money. And so from that point on, it was kind of like, huh, they are not teaching financial literacy. And though every 17-year-old isn't going through what I went through a few years ago, it's still something that will affect you for the rest of your life and really have big consequences if you don't know what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. I think that that's so true, that most people don't think about their own financial literacy or their own personal finance goals and challenges until they're at that point where they have, till they need it. And then it's like, it's almost too late because you're having decisions and you're not equipped to make them. So before we go any further, and you touched on a whole lot of different things that we're going to go a little bit deeper into in this conversation, but let's just tell me about the game Money Quest and how it works. I assume it's way more developed than it was when you first showed it to G Beta. So tell me about the app and what a user would experience going through the program.
Yeah, absolutely. We have completely redeveloped it since G Beta for sure. Yeah, it's gone through quite a bit of testing by us, and we did a smaller round of testing earlier this summer as we kind of gear up for a larger round of testing this fall semester in schools. We've completely rewritten the storyline, completely rewritten like the path to learning about all these things. We're trying to stay away from the typical, like, watch a video, take notes, hope you pass the quiz. You know, we want to incorporate in the gameplay the actual lessons. So if you're listening to this, picture more like a Pokemon or Animal Crossing style of gameplay, that very like Nintendo like. We're still 2D, but we're going to redevelop it soon into a 3D platform, so that it's even more, you know, user friendly. We're creating the storyline right now to where as each day passes, you learn a new lesson on personal finance, whereas the first day, I believe, is income.
Mm-hmm. I pulled up the list so we could pull it up. So through the camps, we're doing a lot of testing this coming fall, like he was saying, and we're going to run 12-week camps with some of the schools mm-hmm. around Houston. And so each week we want to cover a different thing. And so each week at these camps that we're going to be in attendance, there's going to be a day in the game, and it's going to focus on
So the first day is, you know, like income. The second one's renting or buying real estate. Third one's banking, then budgeting, credit score. And they kind of build on top of each other because you can't do the next one without learning about the previous one. And that's kind of how we're structuring it so that you can keep going back and reviewing previous things that build on to the next thing. So going way back to Duolingo, that's one of the great things that they teach is, you know, it's not just you learn 20 different, you know, words in every lesson, but you consistently go back and review the other ones so that they stay fresh on the mind. So that's kind of how we're building this narrative in the game. And right now it's more linear, more straightforward, but we hope to be able to add more open world concepts so that you can kind of go and test these things out as you go. So that's kind of how it works.
I think it's kind of crazy because the whole gaming industry is like a whole world. And so you're kind of like towing the line between this, you know, ed tech, but also gaming. I wonder how that is and navigating those two huge types of technology that you...
I would actually say three different industries between education tech, gaming tech, and also financial tech, because this does have, you know, a personal finance component to it. And it does kind of lead the natural progression of this is, you know, once you learn how to do all these things, how are you going to apply it? And all these kids who are growing up and, you know, they're going to have to eventually choose a bank and have to choose a credit card and have to choose, you know, where to get their car loan and home loans from. So it does kind of naturally progress into fintech as well.
So what age group are you targeting at this point? And I kind of wonder, has that evolved since you've created the company? And then also, do you have plans to expand that age group?
So one thing I wanted to kind of touch on is the Texas State Bill 1063. Texas is not alone in this. There are actually 23 other states that have recently either passed or in the process of passing financial literacy bills. And most of them are aimed at high schools, but some of the states have also passed other bills that are putting in elementary and middle school as well. So we're aiming at primarily high school students, but we love for the opportunity to expand it to elementary because the earlier we can start educating these kids on this, the more ingrained it'll be. So it's not, you know, new stuff that they're having to learn once they become a high school student. But I do believe high school is kind of the last best opportunity, you know, to teach them because when we're traveling around the state and talking to these kids, we're seeing the juniors and seniors in high school who are very engaged with this information, you know, a lot more than they, you know, typically would be in a normal English class. and
it's a lot more relevant to their lives. So learning about renting, mm-hmm. getting your first car loan, like we're setting them up for the things that they're in preparation to do in their real time, real life.
Or that they're doing like at that second, because a lot of them are getting their first job, getting their first car loan, getting their first, you know, having to pay for insurance for the first time and learn about all these things. But the problem is a lot of them are learning it by doing it. And even worse, a lot more of them, more than less, are doing it and learning the hard way by doing it the wrong way. So it really is kind of like real to them when they're hearing about these concepts and they're learning it in a more fun way and hearing from somebody who says like, you're going to apply this like tomorrow in your life, you know?
Well, speaking of students, I think, Keely, you mentioned you are currently a student at UH. And I wonder, you know, what's it like balancing the role of a founder and also a student, but also UH has an incredible entrepreneurship program. So how are you, maybe there's some advantage to having one foot in that door still.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There has been. So I actually moved here from Chicago for the Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship. I got two associate's degrees from my community college in Illinois. And this was during COVID. And me and my sister had always been really drawn to entrepreneurship. Like we'd started a business during COVID called Easter Eggers, where we actually were like a for hire Easter bunny. And we went around the Chicagoland area hiding Easter eggs the night before Easter in people's yards. And so when I was looking for a 4-year to transfer to, I just went online and Googled best entrepreneurship program in the country, and Wolf Center came up number one. So I moved down to Texas, had to start going to U of H before I could apply to get in the Wolf Center, and they only let in 30 kids every year. So it was a huge risk on my part, but I was willing to take that risk. And I got into the program, and have the experiential learning at the Wolf Center is, you can't compare it to any other program in the country. And that's why it is ranked number one, as well as the professors there have actually started, ran, exited businesses. And so having their input and mentorship in the Wolf Center, and now even post Wolf Center, now that I've graduated, we still have access now to all of those resources that I had when I was in that program. And it changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. And managing school along with being a founder has become easier since the Wolf Center, because of what like a strenuous program it is. I was putting like 80 hours a week into fundraising and classwork. And a big thing at the Wolf Center is Wolf Fest is a huge fundraising festival that we do that takes months of preparation and donors. And this year our class actually broke the record of any Wolf Center class ever. We raised over $500,000 between our 30 students and leading our Wolf Fest teams. So after going through that program, doing school and startup is like exactly what they prepped me for. So it has been really helpful. And because of the program, I'm able to manage it pretty well.
And she didn't just graduate. She also won the Bill Sherrill Award as the top wolves at the top wolf at the Wolf Center.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did get the leadership award. So
we got the number one entrepreneurship student at the number one entrepreneurship school and the number one country for entrepreneurship. So
thank you for saying that, because she was a gunna, but you gotta have
she's brag too humble, yeah. So I have to brag for her.
That's incredible. And I went to UH, so I very much remember Wolf Fest just in participating as an attendee and not having any idea at the time how much work y'all do on that. That's amazing. So I guess, you know, one thing I wanted to ask about, and we've kind of talked a little bit about it too, the game I believe debuted in April. So what's it been like since? What sort of feedback are you able to get from people who go through it, and kind of what, give us a progress report, I guess, so to speak.
Yes, we did kind of a big pre-launch party, more than anything, just to get the name out there, to kind of show off what we've been working on. April is Financial Literacy Month, so it seemed the perfect time. We also kind of use it as a fundraising event to help us with, you know, current development. And it was a great time. We had, I think, as far as I know, it was 203 people there.
209.
Yeah. As far as we know, the largest startup launch party in Houston history. So you know, whoever wants to come next, you know, you're on. But you know, it was great. We got to show it off. From there, we've had a lot of testing and gotten kind of a mixed bag of results, all positive. They see where we're going and see, you know, what the purpose of this is, and it's just basically like, now we need to add more content, add more of a storyline. We're just adding and making it more immersive. Going from no software background to having to teach myself that, you know, and like also become part-time copywriters and part-time storyline writers and part-time, you know, all these things, it's definitely, you know, stretched us as far as we can go. But no, it's been great. The feedback that we're getting and the reception, more than anything, from even the several schools that want to partner with us this coming fall. And even when we go to, it was a different event. We got to recently be a speaker at the Higher Houston Youth Program, Mayor Turner's initiative. They asked us to come in and speak on financial literacy at one of the tables. We got to have a little booth. And Keely used that as a great, you know, time to collect some kind of feedback from parents. Survey data from parents. And it's such a funny like sales process whenever people come up and they see the demo video of the gameplay and they say, oh, like, what's this? And we tell them, hey, we're building a video game that teaches kids financial literacy. And the next words out of their mouth, like 9 out of 10 times, are like, can I buy it right now? Like, where do I go to get this? So like the need is there. The want is there. Now it's just, you know, like continuing that storyline to make sure that all pieces really match up and, you know, all the back end code works and there's no problems. One of the minor errors we had with our recent round of testing was you know, if you ran over a certain tile, it would, it was supposed to send you to the other side of the map, but
it did not.
But because of the way we had the other tile on that end of the map, like, set up, it basically just sent you into like an infinite void. And I was like, that's not very good. Like, we should probably change that. So we're just working out all the bugs right now and doing as much testing as we can. We're actually, we just wrapped up a round of testing, of QA testing with Lone Star College. They have a QA testing program for video game development. And they decided to use our game as one of the star pieces of content to run their final program on. So it was great. And now we're should be getting it later this week on what their thoughts were and how we can change it to make it better. So yeah, just testing.
Well, it sounds like you're working a lot with schools directly. I know you mentioned those camps, and then people are asking if they can just buy outright the program. So how do you think of the best way to reach your users? Do y'all have a kind of a plan to roll out in different ways? Are you always going to go through schools? What are y'all thinking for that?
Right now, we are just focusing on schools because of the accessibility we have to those groups of students in do with our testing. So our product isn't being pushed out yet for sale because we want to collect the impact metrics that actually prove that this is where your child was pre our game, and they go through the program, they go through the game, and then post results actually showing that they learned something and they improved in their financial literacy. And so right now our target with schools has really helped us organize our path forward to gather that very important data. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
Yeah. So yeah. For now, yes, we'll be aiming at schools for probably the next calendar year while we continue development. But eventually we would like to release a B2C version so that if you want to download it, you know, on your own, you know, laptop, desktop, like smart device, you can do that as well. But for now, just aiming at schools until we can prove those impact metrics. Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, obviously, the most recent piece of news that I've heard about for EYF is that you've launched a crowdfunding campaign in, I believe, in partnership. I'm not sure the partnership parameters, but with Impact Hub Houston, which is a fantastic organization here in Houston. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the relationship with Impact Hub, the crowdfunding round, how people can get involved, etc.
Absolutely. So, you know, if you're not familiar with kind of the Amagi building on Main, we're up here on the 10th floor, and up here it's shared by Impact Hub, G-Beta, Mass Challenge, Founders Institute, like a lot of these, you know, accelerator programs and startup affiliated associations. While we were going through the G-Beta program, you know, you see Akil and you see Michelle and Grace and Jose and all them every day. And we just, you know, started to get to know them quite a bit. And we talked to Grace about what we were doing and the path that we wanted to go down. And she suggested the partnership that we have now. So they are our fiscal sponsor, where we can, you know, use their 501c3 status for this donation program to help us raise funds to run these after-school programs, like the ones we're planning to do this fall, that will not only, you know, be able to help us, you know, get there and get the game like in their hands, but also we're open to be able to feed these kids as well, because a lot of the schools we're aiming at are these kind of Title I schools that need this game more than most, who unfortunately a lot of the kids at these schools, you know, the free school lunch they get is the only meal they get that day. So we're not just wanting to, you know, educate their minds, but also feed their stomachs so they can focus in our class as well, you know, and be able to show like, this is what, you know, financial freedom can help you achieve, to help give back, to help with these things. So right now as we're running this campaign, we're looking to raise $100,000 to run these programs. And it can be individuals, it can be organizations, it can be anybody who is, you know, either looking for, you know, a tax write-off or just wanting to help our program as a whole. And if you're a bank, you know, we can partner up to run a CRA, we can actually qualify for CRA credits. So it's just, there's so many ways that you could come in and help us. And, but mainly it's looking to run these programs after school is what this money is going towards.
So something, I guess a natural kind of follow-up to that is, you know, so much of what we've talked about so far is is you both tapping into what's available here in Houston, the Houston Innovation Ecosystem for GData Impact Hub, you know, just sometimes just being in the right place at the right time too. So, you know, that's all relatively new for Houston. You know, over the past few years, this infrastructure really grown. So I guess what has the experience been like for y'all to be here in Houston? Grant, I know you're a native, and then Keely, you're a new Houstonian, but and like to be based here, I guess.
I've loved Houston since I moved here. I think the community aspect that you guys have is unlike anywhere else that I've ever lived. Ever since I moved here, in combination with the Southern hospitality, it's like, it's real. And people are always looking out for each other and they're always offering help, and they're not really doing it out of the intent that they think they're going to get something back. Like, people are genuinely, they care here. And it has opened a lot of doors for me being in Houston. Like, I met Grant through the ION, the innovation hub in Houston. And so it's just, the opportunity is there. You just kind of have to show up, and showing up is half the battle. So
yeah. No, I think we're at a very pivotal time right now in our ecosystem's like growth. Houston's always been known for kind of three things of oil and gas, medicine, and shipping. So at this point, you know, driving innovation, driving like green tech was a natural progression. That makes perfect sense. But now starting up all these new different types of like, what is it, industries from like, we're like, we talked about earlier, we're fintech, edtech, you know, gaming tech, like three industries that are not exactly, you know, known for being in Houston. But there is the infrastructure for it. It just hasn't been tapped into as much as it should be for innovation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the big five largest banks in America all have buildings here. You know, we have 6 Foot Studios, one of the best gaming, game development studios in Texas, is right here in Montrose. So like, we've got the backing for
it.
The talent is here. You know, when it comes to ed tech, you know, I think Texas is one of the largest, acceptors of money from the National Education Department, as well as Houston's the 7th largest school district. HISD is the 7th largest school district in America. Like, it's just all the right, you know, ingredients are in the bowl. Just needs to be kind of mixed properly, yeah. You know? Yeah. So we are kind of looking for more innovative minded people who, you know, genuinely want to help the community. And we've got stats for days to just show, like, you know, when you increase financial education in areas, it improves everything for that area. Like, there are no downsides to making all students in Houston financially literate, you know? So that's kind of the biggest thing, is just pulling those kind of older industries into, hey, listen, like, what got Houston here won't get it there. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to start thinking more forwardly, and we hope to be a small piece of that and helping to bring, you know, education, fintech, and gaming more here to the Houston area.
Yeah, I think it's always fun to hear about kind of non-traditional Houston tech companies and what they observe about Houston, because I think the general consensus is like, yes, we're known for X, Y, and Z, but there's so much more potential here, and there's so much more already happening here. So it's always a great reminder. And I think a good way to kind of wrap up our conversation is thinking about the future and your future vision for EYF, but also the future of financial education, because I think, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the timing was just so great with that bill coming out and just more attention on financial education. So when you think of the future with EYF and the future of financial education, what are you keeping a close eye on?
Yeah, I mean, definitely keeping a close eye on which states are ratifying more financial literacy bills, which ones are, you know, our neighbor states, like Oklahoma has recently passed one, and others that we can start tapping into. I don't know. We just want to, my mind's so focused right now on like the redevelopment of the game that we're like, can't even think 5 years down the road. But dream scenario, you know, I'd love for the state of Texas and other states, or even just the U.S. Department of Education, to come in and, like, you know, license our game from us to provide it to all these schools. There is so much research out there that, props to Keely for finding it, honestly, you know, on the value in gamifying education and how retention rate increases, test scores increase,
retention, motivation, engagement. And on top of all that, it's becoming more and more apparent how financially illiterate our country is. 67% of Americans are considered financially illiterate, and 60% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And so it's a different mindset thing. Like, people can be making, you know, $100,000 a year, but if they don't know how to manage their money, then they're still going to be in a cycle of not being financially free.
It's not about how much you make, it's about how much you keep, you know? So you can make $1 million, but if you're spending $990,000 a year, like, you're never going to be able to retire. And we want to be able to help more of these kids understand, more than anything, the decisions that they're making with this, with these money, with, you know, do I go to college or not? Do I, you know, get this job or not? Like, how do I interview? How do I do all these things? That, you know, life, if you really boil it down, it just comes down to who's making the best decisions, you know, with what they have. And we can't, you know, handhold everybody, but I think we can create a game that gives the best possible education on financial literacy. That, you know, we can't control the future and everything that's going to happen, but we can control, like, the quality of the education that we give you. So we're hoping, you know, for this to be in every school across the U.S. and for every kid to at least play the game one time before they become an adult. Because there's, again, there's no downside. And as things get, honestly, more and more complicated in the personal finance space, there's so many different types of credit cards. There's so many, you know, Zelle, PayPal. I think the Federal Reserve is actually coming out with FedNow. So, yes. Like, you know, a government-based, you know, instant payment thing. There's just so many things coming out now. And with cryptocurrency, it's not getting any easier. So, like, there's never been a better time to be educated on how to make, spend, and save your money properly. So that's kind of the goal for EYF, is to put in every kid's hands, and, you know, even the young adults like me who needed it as well. So, yeah,
absolutely. I think we've all heard the jokes of, like, come tax season when it's time to do that. We're like, why did no one teach us this in school?
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. I say it all the time. So I think it's so funny, or so inspiring now to see that, you know, A, the schools are the states are making a concerted effort to provide this type of education, and B, that they're really cool companies and one specifically from Houston that are providing the technology and the engaging content for that. So it seems like it feels like a brighter future for the future of education.
Yeah, we're hoping so. Oh yeah, there's one last thing. Just got a big shout out to the Texas Bankers Association. If you're in the Dallas area next week, you can come see us speaking at the Texas Financial Literacy Summit. So, yeah, looking forward to that. It's going to be great. I think we're making a lot of moves. I think Texas definitely is one of the leaders when it comes to pushing this new legislation. So we're excited for the near future and everything that's going to come from it, and hoping to put Houston on the map for innovation and tech. So
awesome. Well, thank you both so much for your time today and for telling us all about EYF and the really important work that y'all are doing that is also going to be really fun for students to use. So
thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.